let anybody think that they can get to heaven without prayer. Strange that anybody should think that he can get to heaven without prayer any more than that he can live without breathing. When I was a little boy, I told you how first time they took me to a funeral, I looked askance at the corpse. I said, my thought, he'd gone to heaven. Well, they tried to explain to me that the soul had gone to heaven, but the body is going to go into the grave. They said, they're going to put you down there too someday. I said, not me. No, sir, I said, I'm never going to die. They laughed at me. I must have been about 3 years old, and I still remember it as if it was yesterday. How they laughed at me, I didn't like that. They said, what are you going to do when you die? I said, I won't die. I won't stop breathing. I was positive that I would not stop breathing. And when I got to find Jesus, I was still a boy. I wasn't 20 years old, but I became a passionately in love with prayer, because I found out that only in prayer could I meet God. And in prayer, God met me. And I discovered that true Christianity is a love affair. True Pentecost is a love affair. Call it what you please. Not signs, not wonders, not anything of that nature, but it's intimacy with Jesus Christ. Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, I in them. Oh, and thou in me. And that seems so wonderful to me, that promise of God, that Jesus Christ could come and dwell within me and fill me with the Holy Ghost, that even though I was a kid and though everybody was against me, my preacher was against me, the Dickens were against me. You know who the Dickens are? They're the good men of the church. They were against me. Everybody was against me. And not only that, but time was against me, because in those days, everybody had a job. Not like today where they hang around the corners and then go and go on relief. Nothing like that in those days. I worked hard for $4.50 a week. Worked many hours. And then had to take my time for prayer out of my sleep. How many times I felt myself dropping to sleep after midnight, and I said, oh God, God, wake me up. God, wake me up. Oh, to meet God. Oh, to meet God. Oh, to meet God. Oh, to meet God. When you pray, don't pray like the scribes and Pharisees. Go to your Father. That's prayer. Everything else is a farce. Call it what you please. But Father is waiting to reward you. Father, looking down from heaven, he is being worshipped by the lips of men whose hearts are far from him, but he's looking for men that worship him in the Holy Ghost and in truth, whose bodies have become a living sacrifice, a temple of the living God, whose hearts are a shrine, who are so devoted to God that God the Father and the Son can come and make their abode in this heart. What a call! And without prayer, impossible. Why, prayer is not talking a lot. Prayer is not putting on a straitjacket and saying, now I've got to be good and gooder still. Nothing like that. Prayer is a new life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He breathes an entirely different air from the air he breathed before. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You can tell today people who are loving the world. They come to Pentecostal meetings, yes, but their hearts are far from God. And I found out as a kid that God would meet me when I came to meet with him. And increasingly so. Increasingly he met me, thank God. And oh, I'm so thankful that God taught me this one lesson when I knew nothing else. Knew nothing else. I just knew that my soul hungered and thirsted for the living God. And then God brought me into this wonderful, wonderful light of Pentecost. And to me, I got it out of the Bible. I didn't get it out of Pentecostal meetings because I was disgusted with those meetings that I knew. I was disgusted with the preachers I knew. The preacher that I knew was my relative. He always had visions. He always saw ghosts. He could always tell you what you were thinking and how much money you had in your pocket and so on. And I said, he's an old liar. And he finally broke on the wheel and made a shameful spectacle of himself. And so I was not attracted to that kind of Pentecost, but I found it in the Bible where Jesus Christ says, I'm the true vine. My Father's the husbandman. Abide in me, and I in you, and he that abideth in me shall bring forth much fruit. And if any man abide in him, he shall not sin. He that sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. That's the kind of a holiness my soul craved, hungering and thirsting after his righteousness. I found out that God Almighty was looking for men and women who would devote themselves entirely to him, who would give themselves to him. I found out that when Jesus died on the cross and paid so great a price, he didn't do it just to get me out of hell. But he did it that he might possess me for his own, and that I might possess him for my own. Beloved, this seemed so perfectly wonderful to me that the world lost its charm, and everything in the world lost its charm, and there was a passionate love for Jesus Christ born in my soul. How did it come about? Prayer. Prayer. Jesus Christ says, everyone that asketh, receiveth. What are you talking about, Lord? Why, he says, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And here they forsake me, the fountain of living water, and they dig fountains that can hold no water. They're foul, dug by men, man's wisdom, man's knowledge, man's science. God says it's foolishness. But he has made unto us wisdom, righteousness. Jesus Christ alone is made unto us righteousness. Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees. Oh, beloved, what kind of a righteousness did Jesus Christ have? And this righteousness he gives to those who believe on him, who open their hearts to him. He is made unto me of God righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He is all and in all, and all this is mine when I pray in the Holy Ghost. That's why he says, everyone that asketh, receiveth. And that's the place where you receive when you really want him, when you really want him. And that's what a meeting like this is for, to make Jesus so attractive that people will want him. And people who don't want him will stay away automatically. Many have stayed away. They're welcome. But Jesus Christ makes himself so attractive. Oh, he's so attractive. Glory, 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 glory. How wonderful is Jesus. What a beautiful man he is. Talk about manhood. Clean, pure, undefiled. In his mouth was found no guile. And it's this righteousness that he communicates to me if I want to. He says, Father, I in them, and thou in me. And God brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, to make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And when you make your choice, when you choose Jesus because he is so attractive to you that you cannot live and you don't want to live without him, I tell you, he's more than happy to come to you. I found that out. I discovered that it wasn't done by speaking in tongues. It was done by really emptying myself, really repenting, repenting. Oh, God, really got me down. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that he didn't let me run in my sin or in my carelessness or my worldliness, but he dug deep. He took that two-edged sword and he plunged it into my solar plexus. into my heart, and it became a discerner of the thoughts and of the intents of the heart. He convicted me. What a blessing when the Spirit of God can rebuke you and you accept his rebuke. Turn you at my rebuke, he says. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you, and you cannot claim the fullness of the Holy Ghost until you have been convicted and you've repented. You've made your choice. Sin shall not have dominion over you. If you let Jesus Christ have dominion over you, that's the choice everyone has to make and everyone can make. How very marvelous. How very wonderful. And we do it when we pray. Everyone that seeketh findeth. He is there to be found. And they that seek me early shall find me. Beloved, don't think you'll get there without prayer. Why, prayer becomes the most delightful occupation that you can possibly be occupied with. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. I had dealings with a young fellow who was so lazy. He was, they say, as lazy as a bedbug. I tell you, he was. But when he fell in love, how that changed him. Now he could write letters by the hour. He studied now how to use a typewriter. He got my goat because he kept pounding away for hours next door to me. And in a short while, he had learned how to write with blindfolded. Oh, my loving darling, my lotus petal. And I don't know what all he wrote. Page upon page. He was in love. And it wasn't any work at all. It was not a chore at all. And beloved, when you're in love with Jesus, and how can you evade loving Jesus when you look into this wonderful book and you find out, here is perfection. Here is the Son of God in whom God is well pleased. Here is the one who created all things by the word of his power and upholds all things by the word of his power. Here is one that is truly righteous, truly pure. And when you really desire purity of heart, God has it for you. He's got that rain of the Holy Ghost for you. That transforms your mind. Transforms your mind by making Jesus Christ possess your thoughts, possess your feelings. Oh, beloved, here's the place where we need to make our choice. And when you make your choice, you have a wide open door into the very presence of Almighty God. Your Father is in secret and he waits to reward you openly. Oh, how we need prayer. How we need prayer without ceasing. It becomes your life. It becomes the pulsation of your heart. That's what the Holy Ghost has come to do. To make us lovers of Jesus. To unite us to the Son of God. Oh, what the law could not do, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, and then raised him from the dead and now sent him in the person of the Holy Ghost. Do you want him? Or do you want to live in the flesh? If you live in the flesh, you shall die. Oh, how many today are living in the flesh. And we have that wonderful New Year's text. The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And throughout the Bible, we are warned from the very beginning of Genesis to the very last page of Revelation. We are warned that a day is coming that shall burn as an oven. And the ungodly shall not stand in the day of judgment. And that there is required a wonderful preparation, and that only Jesus can give me that preparation. He alone can make me worthy to stand before the Son of Man. And the Holy Ghost makes this thing so clear that especially in the last days, hell will be open. Somebody asked me today, why is it that the United States has been sliding so fast into sin? Why, beloved, the day has come of which Jesus speaks, where the carcasses the vultures will gather. Where is the carcass? Why, it's the place where flesh reigns. That's the carcass. It's dead. And that's where the vultures gather. And you can have all the religious paraphernalia you want. You can have all the religious names and buttons you want. But listen, the devil will find the flesh. If you tolerate flesh in your soul, it's because you choose darkness rather than light. They tell me that these pesky dung flies, they can smell a dung heap 2 miles away. And these vultures, they can smell you a longer distance than that. Colored man was boasting of his dog to another colored man. He said, my dog is the smartest dog in Brooklyn. You take him away up to Albany, and next day he'll be here again. He'll find his way back to me. And the other colored man said, yeah, but not if you take a bath in between. Well, I tell you, the devil knows whether you had a bath or not. He can't find you. Oh, my Lord and my God. The vultures gather. Vultures, men. I go through the world and I hear men and women, when they're honest, confessing that they're bound with chains of lust and pride and jealousy. And all this vermin is today destroying the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. Not the exterior sins, not these big sins perhaps, but these interior things that we tolerate instead of receiving the kingdom of heaven, which is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that's why I say, without prayer, it is impossible. That's why God makes prayer in the Holy Ghost not only a possibility, but it's inevitable. The Spirit has come down from heaven to help our infirmity. And he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. That's what I like Martin Luther. He says, as many who have the Holy Ghost for driving force, they're the sons of God. Here's the driving power. Here's something that's more powerful than the jet airliner. It's the Baraja Gaibo Yele Ganyolo Bele Zai Bayolo Bojo. The Spirit of God makes you a temple of God, makes your heart a shrine, makes your heart an altar, and the fire keeps burning, and that kind of a prayer defeats all hell. That kind of a prayer alone is effective. And that kind of a prayer, the Bible says, will make you stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Oh, this open door that God has set before me, how can I neglect it in these dark days when the end of all things is in hand? And where is the end? We deplore, of course, the conditions in Hong Kong and the conditions in China and in other countries of the world. But do you see the condition of the church today, the condition of the people of God that are not clean, not clean, pitiful, immoral practices and thoughts and feelings, and these bodies that have been purchased with the blood of Almighty God. Oh, my Lord and my God, and we talk about the rapture. People say the rapture may take place any moment. Say, listen, what would you do in heaven with that flesh of yours? Thank God the Holy Ghost has come down from heaven to prepare a church for the bridegroom. And he tells us so. He says, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Oh, that makes Pentecost a serious matter. That makes Pentecost a kingdom of God, the reign of Christ. Thank God. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here is one that has power in heaven and in earth. And he offers his reign to you. He offers to come and reign within you. And so he says, Let us therefore pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication, that in the evil day ye may have done all to stand. So easy to pretend to stand when everything is well, when you're healthy. But let a trial come your way and see how quickly you'll fall on your nose, and see how quickly you'll surrender to the enemy. Beloved, we need to get ready while we're strong and while God is blessing us. Now is the accepted time, and now is the time to put on the whole armor of God. Thank God for the prayer closet. Thank God for that sanctuary in my heart where I can meet God all the time and have communion with Him all the time, and where my Heavenly Father takes care of everything. Thank God. Making me perfect in every good work to do His will, working in me that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Don't think that you'll get there without prayer. You don't have to, thank God. But as in Venezuela, we tried to travel. I saw on muleback, it would take you 2 weeks to make a short distance. And what a job. And then they built an airline. And you got onto that airline and strap yourself in, and in 1 hour you'd make the distance. You'd fly all over the mud and over the mules and everything. And God says, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. What an opportunity. What a privilege. Are you living a life of prayer? If not, why not? Don't you love Jesus? Isn't He the lover of your soul? Doesn't your heart cry for fellowship with Him? Don't you long to get out of your coffee clutch and out of your association with men that talk and talk and gab and gab? They may talk spiritual things. But oh, when Jesus whispers to you, and He does, and when your Heavenly Father meets with you and rewards you, what a privilege. Listen, everyone that asketh, receiveth. What? Why the kingdom? Everyone that seeketh, findeth. What? Why, me, He says, you'll find me. Everyone that knocketh, to him it shall be opened. What? Why, that gate into the chambers of the king. Let us pray like never before. Never mind what the world does. I've always said our worst enemies are not the communists and not the atheists, but backslidden Pentecostal people who take it easy. They're our worst enemies, and you spend time with them and you cannot get away undefiled. And presently those vultures that devour them will devour you. That's why God says, don't cast your pearls before the swine. That soul of yours is the precious pearl for which that King of Heaven has given everything, to purchase it unto Himself, and to make it an eternal inheritance of His.